Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm Dustin Roberts, and for the next 25 minutes, we're going to be discovering the pursuit of true happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. It's something that we all have in common, and here in America, that principle is even spelled out in the Declaration of Independence. But is being happy our life's purpose? Well, Rabbi Schneider answers that question as he continues our study regarding the mysteries in the Gospel of John. To take some notes on this eye-opening topic, grab a pen and be sure to download Rabbi's study guide from our website. You'll find it at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. That's discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now, here's Rabbi.
Shalom Aleichem, my friends, as we continue today our journey in the Gospel of John. This is season 8. We're going line by line through the Gospel of John, hitting main themes. And this is now the 8th season, the 3rd episode in the 8th season. The last time I preached from the Gospel of John, I was talking about in John chapter 8 how Yeshua was teaching, and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, brought to him as he was teaching a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And they said to him, "What are you going to do with her? Because the law of Moses commands that such a woman ought to be stoned." And Yeshua looked at the ground and he wrote on the ground and he didn't say anything. And then he stood up looking in their eyes and he said, "Let he that's without sin cast the first stone." And they were so convicted by the power of his word and the Spirit of God that was upon them in Jesus's presence that no one could do anything because they all were convicted of their own heart. And one by one, they began to walk away. Now simply the woman is left remaining. And Yeshua says to her, "Where's all your accusers?" She says, "They're gone." And he says to her, "Neither am I going to condemn you. Go now and sin no more." So what happens when Jesus tells this woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more"? Listen what happens in the next verse. Then Jesus again spoke to them, the crowd that had came to hear him teach. And he said this, "I am the light of the world." He was setting himself apart from everything that they had seen and known. It is true that the law of Moses commanded that such a woman, this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, it was true in the law of Moses, she should be stoned to death. But Jesus, Yeshua, came in a totally different revelation of the heart of God. This is why the Gospel of John begins by saying in John 1, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were revealed through Jesus Christ. See, the law was given, according to the Apostle Paul, to convict man of sin, to prepare us for the Messiah. Part of the purpose of the law was that you and I would become so aware of our inadequacy to please God by our own efforts, that we would become so aware through the law of our own evil intentions, of our own inability to continually do good, that we'd become so desperate with our wretched condition that when Jesus came, we'd be ready to cast ourselves upon him. So the law is holy and righteous and good, the law that came through Moses, the law that the Pharisees asked Jesus to enforce against this woman. And in such having that woman stoned to death, the law was holy, righteous, and good. But Jesus came to reveal a higher dimension of God. Jesus came to reveal the fullness of God's grace. The law was an extension of God's grace, but not at the same level of the revelation of God's grace that was revealed when Yeshua came. And so, we know the story. They asked Jesus to stone her to death because she had broken the law according to the law of Moses. Yeshua didn't do that. Instead, he showed her mercy and commanded her to sin no more. Now listen to the next verse once again. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I want you to think about this verse in conjunction with the previous verse when Yeshua spoke to the woman. The previous verse is, I do not condemn you. Go from now on, sin no more. And then Yeshua followed it with saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I have a warning for you all. If you and I do not abide in the light, we find ourselves in the darkness. And when we're in the darkness, destruction can fall upon us and evil spirits can enter our lives. When we willfully sin, we open up a legal door for unclean spirits to come in. We've done ministry with many people over the years that had demons occupying space within them. I don't use the term possession when it comes to a Christian, because a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, because the word possession implies ownership. And the devil cannot own somebody that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the word possession is not an accurate way to describe a demonic problem that a Christian could have. But what a Christian can have is a demonic entity occupying space within their being. Some people really balk at that, but you think about it. If you're walking around worrying all the time, you're a Christian, but if you're walking around worrying all the time, isn't there a demon occupying space in your mind? Demons can occupy space in believers. I encourage you to get my book if you've never read it. It's called Self-Deliverance. And I talk about how even as there were money changers in the Holy Temple that Yeshua had to drive out with his whip, so also demonic entities can occupy space within believers, and these demons that can occupy space within us need to be driven out. And they're driven out when we choose, beloved, to walk in the light. And sometimes we need to forcefully come against evil spirits by speaking to them and saying, Satan, I reject you. Get out of my mind, or get out of my way, or get out of my life. But Jesus had dealt with this woman. He delivered her from condemnation, but then he said to everyone present, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. Let me ask you, is there danger in the darkness? There's danger in the darkness. The darkness is where evil beings dwell. The darkness is where people get robbed and people get attacked. But Jesus said, if we'll follow him, we'll not walk in darkness, but get this, but we'll have the light of life.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
The Bible says that as we seek to obey Jesus, that our senses, our spiritual senses, get trained to know the difference between good and evil. As we abide in the light, as we seek to grow in the light, as we keep on resisting the darkness and making decisions to abide in the light, more and more we're able to perceive the light and abide in the light. And so I want to encourage you and I to recognize the seriousness of not following Jesus and of not abiding in the light. And I'm not talking about just going to church and a confession of faith. I'm talking about following Jesus on a daily basis during all our hours. It's like all day long we're seeking to follow Jesus. We're seeking to have His mind. We're seeking to make decisions that please Him. We're seeking to live righteously. We're watching the words that come out of our mouth. If we begin to talk in such a way and somehow we perceive that the motive of our heart in the conversation is not right before Hashem, before the Lord, we pull ourselves back and we stop talking. We really have to develop a sensitive spirit to abide in the light, and we keep growing in our sensitivity to the Spirit and in our ability to abide in God's light as we practice righteousness. We're growing. We're on the journey to perfection. Sometimes people think they're abiding in the light just because they're doing some Christian things, but God wants to go so deep within us. And He wants to go to the center of our motives. Like, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we saying what we're saying? It's like back when we were in biology class, we had a slide. And when we just looked at the slide, it looked like it was completely clear. We could see right through the slide, could see right through the piece of glass, didn't see any contamination on it, didn't see any particles or specks on it. But then we put the slide under a microscope. And at first, maybe when we looked in the microscope, the slide looked clear. But then when we began to turn that dial on the microscope, slowly, as the power increased, as we turned the dial, slowly began to see, oh, wow, there's some contamination on that slide. There's something on that slide moving around. As the power was turned up, we were able to see things on the slide that we weren't able to see when we didn't look at it with power. That's what happens with our lives, beloved. As we walk in the light, as we open our heart to the Lord, as we say yes to Him, as we grow in grace, more and more we're able to perceive at an ever deeper level foulness and sin and unrighteousness that needs to be cleansed out of our life, the wrong motives, the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we conduct ourselves. But Jesus said, He that follows Me, He said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what this says to me is, the more I can follow the light, the more I can abide in the light, the more I cut darkness out of my life, the more I'm cleansed of darkness, because being cleansed of darkness is progressive. It's a progressive cleansing, beloved. The Lord more and more cleanses us and sanctifies us. We're in the process of being cleansed and sanctified. So the more and more cleansed and sanctified we become, the more deeply we're able to abide in the light, the more joy we're going to have. Because when you think of light, what do you think of? You think of happiness and joy and goodness. I mean, think about what happens when you're in a dark room all day and then suddenly you open up the shades or you open up the curtains and you look outside or you go outside. There's a beautiful blue sky and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping and all of a sudden, oh, I feel good. I feel good again. And so you and I, we all want to be happy, right? I mean, human beings were created to be happy. How do I know that? Because God's happy. God is completely happy. And He's created us to be in fellowship with Him, and He's created us to share Himself with us. So as those that are created in His own image, we're created to be happy. But we can only be happy to the degree that we abide in the light. So I just want to encourage us all again today to make our goal in life to follow Jesus 24/7 to the best of our ability. We grow. We're not perfect. I'm not talking about you being perfect and beating yourself up if you have a bad thought or do something wrong or fall or say something wrong. Because the Bible says, he that's born of God does not practice sin. No one that's born of God is going to lead a willful lifestyle of sin because God's Spirit's in them. And because God's Spirit's in us, that's the engine in us. So if the engine in us is God's Spirit and God's light, we're not going to lead a life of habitual sin because we've got a different nature. But the Bible says, no one that's born of God practices sin, but if we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So what I'm saying here, beloved, is that our life goal is to follow Jesus and abide in the light. This is a 24/7 thing, to the best of our ability, of rewiring our mind. The Bible says that we should renew our mind by the Word of God. We're changing the way we think. We're changing our perspective of life. We're changing our paradigm of reality. The Scripture says, be not conformed to the world, but be conformed in your mind to the Word of God. We're being renewed and changed. And as we're being renewed and cleansed and sanctified and changed, we enter more and more deeply into the light. And the more we abide in the light, the happier and the more joyful, the more power and the more freedom we'll have. And we're going to get into freedom in just a minute because Jesus talks about that next. So I hope that this motivates you to live for Jesus, because all of us want to be happy. And what I'm proclaiming is that the way to become happy is to follow Jesus so you can live in the light. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm picking up now in verse number 21. Then he said again to them, I go away and you will seek me and you will die in your sins. Where I'm going, you cannot come. He's speaking to those that are rejecting him now. So he says, I'm going to be leaving. Of course, we know he's talking about his crucifixion and resurrection. He's physically going to be taken out of the world. And he said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I go away and you will seek me and you will die in your sins. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews, and you have to understand, beloved, when John uses the word Jews in his gospel, this is so important. I want you to take this away today. He's not talking about all Jewish people, because John, who wrote this, was a Jew. All the apostles were Jews. Jesus died with a sign above his head that said, Yeshua of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Okay, the early church was all Jewish. So when John uses the word Jews in his gospel, he's not talking about all Jews. What he's talking about, listen now, are the Jewish religious leaders in Judea, in this part of Israel. It was a term that described the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Unfortunately, many have read John's word here, Jews. They've gotten the idea that, you know, all Jews are bad people, and unfortunately, it's bred anti-Semitism. But John was obviously not talking about all Jewish people. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria in John 4, salvation's from the Jews. He was talking about the Judean religious leadership in the Judean part of the land. And so John says here, so the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, wherever I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. They couldn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving. And they're asking themselves, he's not going to kill himself, is he? And Jesus says, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Listen, walking with Jesus is living a life, beloved, that's not of this world. Yeshua is not of this world. He's at the right hand of the Father. And my friends, we are not of this world also. So here's the question. If we're not of the world, why are we trying to fit in with the world? The Bible says we're strangers and aliens in this world. I want you to think about today, my friend, as we close this broadcast. If you're not of the world, why try to fit in with the world? Jesus said, if you were of the world, he said, the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of it, therefore the world hates you. Let's stop trying to fit in with the world. Instead, beloved, let's live for Jesus and be his bold witnesses and lights in the earth.
Amen. I'm encouraged to want to be popular in God's eyes and not the world's eyes. You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider. I want to encourage you, keep listening, because Rabbi will be back in just a minute with a sacred blessing for us as we head off into the weekend. And today's message was on the pursuit of true happiness, and if you've missed any portion of it, you can listen to the complete message online. To learn more about all the ways that you can listen to this program, just visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And well, right now, through Tuesday, April the 30th at nightfall, we're celebrating Passover, and you might be wondering what Passover has to do with believers today, but that's why we'd like you to step into this sacred season with us. Passover is more than just a historical moment in time that we read about in our Bibles. It's a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice, how he became our Passover lamb. And to learn more about the Jewish roots of your faith, we want to invite you to keep listening to this daily program and also to visit our treasury of messianic content, which focuses on God's holy days at our website, discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And you know, without your faithful and consistent prayers, we couldn't do what we do or make these daily programs even available. So let me turn things back over to Rabbi for just a moment for more.
Todah Rabbah, that's Hebrew for thank you very much to everyone that is supporting this ministry so that we can continue to teach and preach the Word of God all around the globe. I want you to know, those of you that are sowing into this ministry, we receive testimonies every single week. I mean, hundreds of testimonies from people that are telling us that they felt like they heard the word of the Lord for the first time, people that are coming to salvation, people that were falling that got lifted up by the power and encouragement that's in God's word. And it's because of you that are sowing financially into this ministry that all those people are being helped. If you're being blessed by this ministry and you believe that can bless other people, I want to ask you to just open your heart to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if He's prompting you to sow an offering to the Lord through this ministry, I just want to encourage you to be obedient. And I want to thank you once again from the bottom of my heart for making it possible for God's kingdom to spread through Discovering the Jewish Jesus.
To give a donation of any amount right now, give us a call at 800-777-7835. Or if you'd prefer, you can also support this ministry online when you go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And your support, it enables us to continue spreading God's message of hope and salvation to people all around the world. And as our way of expressing our heartfelt gratitude for your financial support, we'll send you our latest newsletter. It's designed to further immerse you in the Word of God. And we'll also make sure that you receive Rabbi's latest message of the month that's available as a digital download. And now, as our time together draws to a close, I hope you'll let the ancient words of this blessing permeate your heart. May its words accompany on your path this weekend and fill your steps with God's grace and His peace. Rabbi?
The words from the Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, helps us to realize how good God is to you and I personally. So receive His blessing into your life, and then, beloved one, go bless somebody else in Jesus' name today.
Yavarechecha Yahweh vayishmarecha Yair Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us again next week when Rabbi Schneider continues this study on the mysteries in the Gospel of John. That's coming up Monday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.